Hello, my name is Father Jacob, creator and founder of Region Catholic. Region Catholic is a platform used to teach the Catholic faith with the flavor of Northwest Indiana, also known as the Region. If you like this content, then like, comment, or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And better yet, share this, regioncatholic.com, with a friend. If you'd like to support us, you can go to our Patreon page, found at regioncatholic.com, where you can support us at three levels, get shout-outs on our podcasts, or get your hands on exclusive merchandise. Thank you for your support, enjoy the podcast, and God bless you.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Chosen, the podcast. Yes, we're back.
Indeed.
It's been a quick minute.
It's only been a few months, I think, right?
It's like before Easter or something like that. But anyways, I'm still Adam, and I'm with...
I'm still Father Jacob as well, right?
So, yeah. So this is an episode that's a catch-all. It's a summer update. It's talking a little bit more about spiritualities in the church, and I don't know. It's a hodgepodge.
Definitely. And I think the first place we could start with, as we just talked about right before we decided to press record tonight, was the little summer update. So, let's see. The last time I think we recorded would have been in the ballpark of Palm Sunday, like right prior to that, right?
Yeah.
And then we were launched into the unknown. We had no idea.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, stuff with you at the parish, stuff with me with the family, and then there was, I don't remember if it was you or me who got sick. There was some sort of sickness in there somewhere.
Well, I had the stomach flu for about a week.
Yeah, that was it.
That was pretty
devastating.
It was
really intense.
Yeah. It was just after our first communions at the parish. And so definitely a lot of like high activity in the parish,
a lot
of pictures, a lot of joy. And then like Tuesday after, like down for the count.
Death.
I traveled up to Mundelein Seminary actually for they called it the recently ordained because of COVID. It's usually the newly ordained. They come back to campus every year, and then there's a mass for all the newly ordained priests, and one guy is the celebrant, and there's a guy that's a preacher. Well, since it's been canceled so many times for my class and the class prior because of COVID, right, it was the recently ordained. So class of 2020 and class of 2021 were together to be able to celebrate priesthood.
Yeah.
And so it was like, we recorded, released the last episode about Franciscan life, and then we were launched into Holy Week, and then I went to Mundelein, and then I was sick, and then, yeah, that was a pretty bad stomach flu, for sure.
Yeah, well, it's cool that you were able to connect for that mass, you know, it was like postponed, but you were able to celebrate that mass with classmates and things like that.
Yeah, actually, I was a celebrant.
Nice.
So, no pressure. It was valid and licit, to the best of my knowledge. You can go to the Mundelein YouTube channel and look at it for all those listeners to double check my claims. But I'm pretty sure it was all legit. What can I say?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that you're able to do that. I mean, COVID pushed it back. But, you know, for Molly and I, you know, we got married in 2020. The first thing on the chopping block for that whole time was the honeymoon. Because we were planning on going to Italy and Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
My family's from Italy. So we were going to go to Italy and Ireland together. We were super pumped. And then, like, COVID, outside of China, the first place it really hit hard was Italy.
Well, yeah, particularly Rome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were like, darn it, we can't go to Italy. That's okay. We'll just go to Ireland still. And then it spread throughout the EU, and it's like, darn it, okay, that's fine. We'll go to Washington State. We'll go to Seattle. We've always wanted to go to Seattle. Do you remember where it hit first in the U.S.?
It wasn't Seattle, was it?
It was in Washington State.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So then we're like, oh, we can't go there. That's all right. We'll go to... We'll go to Chicago, you know, we'll go to Chicago for a few nights, and then like it just spread everywhere and we never had a honeymoon, but still waiting on that. But with the honeymoon though, like in going to Italy, we arranged to have tickets for the Pope's audience. And then there's something called the Sposi Novelli, which means like new spouses.
Oh man, you guys were going to wear your...
We were going to wear
right?
our stuff, and then you greet the Holy Father.
Wedding dress and tux or suit, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you have the stuff, yeah.
And after, so he does his prayer and his talk, and then after the audience, he comes to a section where new brides and grooms are sitting, and then he greets the brides and grooms there, and then, you know, you can get a picture with them, and then he gives you a blessing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that did not happen.
And needless then, to say, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's in our thoughts to go to Italy, hopefully sometime soon. And I reached out to the religious sister in Rome who helped us with the tickets from the United States.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, you know, COVID really pushed us back. Like, is there any possibility? And she's just like, you're outside the time window with the Sposa Novelli.
Sposa Novelli? They're not going to let you do it?
No. I was like, okay.
That's brutal.
I guess the line has to be drawn somewhere. I don't know.
So, like, it's not like 5 years? How many years?
I guess usually the window is like a year.
Oh, wow.
And so we're past the 2 year mark. And so we're 2 years and one child in. So I guess we missed the boat on the Sposi Novelli. But it wasn't our fault. It was the darn COVID. But anyways.
Yeah.
Summer, Father, you have a big news break or update. I guess people know, but
no, what are you talking about?
You're moving.
No, what do you mean? No, yeah, so I am officially moving to be the chaplain at the St. Teresa of Avila Catholic Student Center at Valparaiso University in Valparaiso, Indiana. So throughout May, there's been a meeting or two here and there, and then, you know, of course, one in June here recently. Just getting a chance to meet with the staff, get to know people, and then myself and the director of campus ministry on the campus went to the University of Mary, UMary in Bismarck, North Dakota, to go to, like, new chaplain, and then Eli is his name, the director of outreach, you know, director of campus ministry. He is also new, like, you know, he would have gone prior, but COVID and other things got in the way. To like this new training that the Fellowship of Catholic University Students offers to new chaplains, new directors of campus ministry. So we went together to the lovely, the scenic, the beautiful Bismarck, North Dakota. So we got to meet with the new missionaries coming to campus, or the new missionary coming to campus, and then our three returning missionaries were also there at training. So it was awesome.
Are there buffaloes in North Dakota? Why do I think there's buffaloes there?
Well, firstly, it's buffalo, I think, is the plural and singular, like deer. But what can I say?
That's confirmation. I am an idiot. Okay. No.
Yeah, there are a multitude of buffaloes out there. No, honestly, I don't know. I feel like such an idiot right now. I have no idea.
At least you said the plural form of buffalo, right?
Just like there are many deers here in Indiana, right? No, but so, I mean, honestly, we flew out like early on a Monday morning, connected through Minneapolis, and then we were flying back like two nights later. But the campus was beautiful. What Focus is doing is beautiful. The chance to be able to interact with some missionaries outside of the team coming to Valpo was great, to see some people that I've known connected to Focus as well. It was awesome. So, but then now it's all about jumping in here in a few weeks, be getting geared up to officially move in and start ministry as a chaplain at a student center on a college campus.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited, really.
Well, congratulations, Father. It is really exciting.
Yeah.
And you're going to do great. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Pray for me if you're listening. I'll need prayers as well. And also too, if pray for our outgoing chaplain, Father Chris Sanish, who was appointed vicar general and moderator of the curia of our diocese here in the Diocese of Gary locally. So definitely prayers in our transition, you know, into new roles in our ministry.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So picking up a little bit from where we were, we spent some time in some episodes talking about Dominican spirituality and mm-hmm. Franciscan spirituality. And I don't know, I guess like with this episode, I figured maybe we could talk about our own spiritualities, you know, maybe what we are attracted to or drift towards, how we would describe our own spiritualities, books that maybe are helpful for us or mm-hmm. have made an impact in our spiritual lives, and just any kind of closing thoughts on spiritualities more generally. I mean, this season has been a little bit more spread out because, again, just the busyness of, you know, Lent and Triduum and then just a whirlwind of personal stuff, but yeah, spiritualities. Father, what do you think?
Well, that was one of the main points for me, was being able to reconnect with Brother John, who we interviewed and talked with several episodes ago. I was in the novitiate for the Dominicans, and he overlapped with me in my time there. So, I mean, needless to say, I was drawn to a Dominican spirituality, particularly in the realm of study, pursuit of truth. And, I mean, I think if I could have been in some ways, a lifelong student, I would have enjoyed it. But I should be careful what I wish for. I don't know who's listening to this, right? You never know. Right. But so I definitely enjoyed multiple aspects of learning, reading, and I'm still drawn to that now. So I find a lot of that spirituality influencing, my ministry and how I preach and what I'm drawn to and what I'm interested in. And then the other portion of that too, just really thinking about like how my start in the Dominicans definitely didn't go to the place where I thought God was calling me in the beginning. It ended up being a new calling, but an opportunity to see how that spirituality can influence my priesthood has been great in the past couple of years as well. So, it was good to reconnect with Brother John and to revisit that. But for any kind of reading, spinning out of that, there's a multitude of commentaries on the Summa that I'd recommend or I would read. I don't know if I would jump straight into reading the Summa. It might be a little dense, to say the least.
Probably.
There's definitely some awesome stuff by, not Matt Frad. He has some good podcast material on it with Pints of Aquinas. But I'm trying to remember the philosopher's name that has written a multitude of books. And he has a book called The Summation of the Summa, like the mini Summa.
Is it Peter Kraft?
Yes, exactly. I knew you would know. Yeah. So that's an excellent source for anyone looking to kind of dip their toe into a little bit of that background and Thomistic thought and, thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. So
nice.
I'll check it out. Yeah. What are the things that you kind of drew from, or what was like your jumping off point when you thought about spiritual life at the beginning of the season? Like, where were you feeling drawn towards?
Well, I would say that if you would have asked me towards the beginning of the season, I really like Ignatian spirituality, which is one that we didn't necessarily touch on, but like I guess this is part of all the spiritualities. So, I mean, I really love praying with the scriptures, the gospels in a particular way, trying to imagine the scene and imagine, the people there. But I also like thinking about what those other people were thinking, or like how they were responding. Maybe it's not written explicitly in the text, but it's like how would they respond or feel in the moment. And I might have mentioned this in a different episode, but some of the things that Jesus said, we're just so used to reading it, at Mass or things like that, and it's so solemn and things like that, which obviously the words of Christ are sacred and they need to be treated with reverence. But like when Jesus is before everybody and he says, you're worth more than a bunch of sparrows. Like, that's funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, you guys are worth more than a couple birds, so take heart so thinking about passages that way, there was a pastor at my home parish, Father Lawrence Heeg, Father Heeg, his nickname was Dutch, but towards the end of his life, there was a theme in his homilies. I remember, because I served Mass for him all the time, but he was really fixated on, Jesus. He's like, Jesus probably had body odor, Jesus probably had BO. That was, a big thing in his homilies, and at the time, I was like, what is he talking about? Like, why is he focusing on this?
Well, this would have been like middle school, high school, Adam.
This would have been like high school, Adam.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Why is he talking about Jesus' BO? But now, I appreciate it more because what he's driving home is just the tangibility of Christ. And even. What was it, last week or the week before? There's a Presbyterian minister who I read some of his books and I listen to his podcast. His name's Tim Keller.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving a commentary on the passage of Jairus and his daughter. And so that's, you know, the passage where his daughter is dying. He's like a high official. He comes to Jesus and says, please come and, you know, cure my daughter. And Jesus goes with him to cure the daughter. But that's when the woman reaches out in the crowd, touches the cloak, and she's healed. And then Jesus stops in the middle of the road. And he's like, who touched me? Yeah, I felt the power come out of me. And Tim Keller's like, do you ever think about what was going through Jairus's mind? You know, so his daughter's dying, actively dying. He has Jesus with him. They're going to heal his daughter. And then Jesus stops in the middle of the road. And, you know, he's having this full-blown conversation with this woman about her hemorrhage and all this stuff. And, you know, Jairus is probably thinking, like, what are you doing? Like, we don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking right now? And then the guys come to him and say, hey, don't bother Jesus anymore because your daughter actually died. Like, he must have been angry, you know? Like,
I could fathom.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So praying with the scriptures, praying with the gospels in that way is something I'm drawn to. But then, like, talking with Father... Father Srefka with the Franciscan spirituality.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about incarnation and that bending low and that closeness. I feel like the work of counseling really draws me to that because I think that counseling is very incarnational, right?
Yeah.
Because you're in the same way that Christ freely chose to enter into our world and sit alongside us and accompany us in what comes our way. I see my role as like doing what I can to enter into a person's lived experience to sit alongside them and accompany them, you know, like it's very incarnational.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is that in a book somewhere? Or should you write it?
Yeah, maybe I should write it. I don't know.
That sounds wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
Okay. You heard it here first. That's copyrighted. We're gonna flush that out with a new book. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Yeah. Don't worry.
So I would
gladly ghostwrite portions of that. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Good.
I'm sure you could handle the bulk, but I'll get like the intro, outro. You know. Yeah.
We'll work on the front cover.
I'll do the cover art.
It's like a stick figure. And then I would say that another spiritual figure who I think is close to both of us is St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei. And like the Second Vatican Council was really big on, you know, the universal call to holiness and everybody's called to be a saint. And, you know, whether you're a priest or religious or, you know, lay person. But the spirituality of Opus Dei, the work of God, is that no matter how big or how small you're doing, it could be an act of sanctification, something to draw you closer to Christ and his people. And I also appreciate the bluntness of Jose Maria. Mm-hmm. So like you read the furrow or the forge or
the way
mm-hmm. It's like these one-liners, and there's some of them are just like a little punch in the gut.
I'm always drawn to and impressed by people that I've met that can like quote numbers from where it is. And I can't do that, but
no.
I'm pretty sure there's stuff from his work that's like, be a man, you are a coward. I think there's a line in there
like
somewhere.
That.
There's a multitude of like directness, you know, in his writings where, and it's kind of interesting cause it's similar to, and I think the gospels, like they cut to our heart, they cut to our core. They get to the point, and I think, like, the gaze of Christ looking upon someone, whether he is, like, desiring for them to be healed and heals them or desiring them to sin no more, it, like, that gaze, like, cuts to the very center of who they are, and they know who they are when he's looking upon them. It's, like, that directness and that draw from the power of Christ that I think is seen in his writings, that it just cuts straight to it.
Yeah.
It just cuts right through it all. That could be chapter 2 of your book,
right.
Just cutting right through it with the incarnation or something, right?
The gaze.
Yes.
The gaze.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. I also think that just speaking about spirituality more broadly, it's not simply meant to be, and this is something we talked about with our guest too, it's not simply meant to be, you know, an intellectual exercise or an abstract thinking project. It's it's meant to be tangible and something that we encounter in our lives. So having opportunities, another practice that I'm not the most faithful at doing. I wish that I was better. But the examine prayer, mm-hmm. you know, like at the end of the day. But taking intentional time to reflect on conversations, encounters, moments where Christ was, I guess to use another title of St. Jose Maria, Christ is passing by, right?
Mm-hmm.
So trying to be intentional about reflecting on those and sharing them with other people. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, but just as you've been talking, and as you know, we've had the two interviews that we did and reviewed the two spiritualities that we did. Like, worth mentioning as well how there's a uniqueness in particular spiritualities, but just the overlap of them all, you know, in talking about how closely related like that incarnational approach of the Franciscans is tied into like elements and directness of, you know, the spirituality of Jose Maria and Opus Dei, or the reality as well that like Ignatian prayer, like how that can be woven through any realm of spiritual. I mean, like praying with the scriptures, even going back to like a Benedictine spirituality, for example, as well. We didn't get to talk about this season, but how interrelated, interconnected it is. And then two thoughts come to my mind when you think about that is get started, like do something, you know, like dive in somewhere, find something, make it tangible, grasp and take, you know, one of these spiritualities and or elements of them. And the other piece is like, don't be overwhelmed, because as you hear us talk about these elements in our own spiritual lives or in the lives of others in the episodes you've heard, like it can be overwhelming, just like thinking about all the ways to pray or all the things to do. I mean, to be frank, we should just do what works for us, and not in like a utility sense. I mean, but in ways that we see produce fruit in our lives. Of course, that doesn't mean if we have a dry spell, we just abandon what we're doing, right? But there'll be definitely clear ways in which we are drawn to particular elements of our spiritual life that we need to do.
Yeah.
So
I think that in terms of books that really have struck me, one of them is a book, I think I probably referenced it in one of the episodes, but a book called He Leadeth Me. It's by a priest named Father Walter Chizik. It's a follow-up to a book called With God in Russia.
Yeah, totally.
But it basically, it's this priest who was imprisoned in Russia in like work labor camps for, what was it, like over 20 years or something? Mm-hmm. And a good portion of it.
Hard labor, cold, grueling, yeah.
Yeah, and some of it was solitary and, you know, so it's his story. Like With God in Russia is kind of the story of the account of what happened. And then He Leadeth Me is like the spiritual underpinnings of that and like the lessons that he learned. So He Leadeth Me was huge. I also really like The Discernment of Spirits by Father Timothy Gallagher.
Yeah.
That was a book that I read before going to seminary. And, you know, that was a moment where I was like, oh, just because I'm feeling blah or like down or bad, that doesn't mean what I'm doing or where I'm going is bad or not what I'm supposed to do. It's all about like disposition, right? Like, are you moving towards God or away from God? And then that's the compass by which you look at these emotions that come up, you know? So those are always two books that right off the bat stick out in my mind.
Yeah, one of the things that I read as well when I started discerning seminary in college was something called The Strangest Way by Bishop Robert Barron.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Did you ever read that?
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah, like just observing like the reality of the Christian life, what it calls us to, how it calls us, and that it's very, very countercultural, counterworldly. And I mean, just thinking about our own culture, it's countercultural, but I mean, there's certain dispositions from any culture that would, you know, lead us in the direction that are easier to follow in some context of the gospel. But I mean, the whole point of the gospel is that it's countercultural, counter the world in some capacity. So that was a great one to check out too. Like, I would really recommend that. Also, Brant Petrie in The Case for Jesus, it talks about some like foundations of the resurrection, and as well as apostolic authorship of the Gospels.
Nice.
Like really good reading as well. You can't go wrong if you pull up anything on Kindle, like if you want from like John Bergsma or Brant Petrie, I would say. Mm-hmm. I found a lot of spiritual richness in their writings and reading and reflecting with what they have to offer. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, The Strangest Way, that was one that struck me too. He has like this three-part formula, which like find the center, know you're a sinner, and your life is not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like Bishop mm-hmm. Aaron talks about those, like find the center, you know, Christ is the center of your life, know you're a sinner, and then realize your life's not about you.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what he fashioned, like his formation program when he was rector at Mundelein. He integrated that and wove that into the formation program. And then the Catholicism series, mm-hmm. if you watch it, it has that throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
his rose window thing is yeah. all about find the center. So that's like a constant image. And then I was just scrolling Amazon at some of the things he's written. And there's a book about like church architecture that he writes that I've never read it. Heaven and Stone and Glass is what it's called. It's got to be, the rose window's got to be in there. There's no way it's not in there.
Yeah.
Like, so if anyone's read it and I'm wrong, like, I'm sorry, but the rose window references have got to be in that book. It's like it's like classic Bishop Robert Barron in his series and his books. Like, it's always good. Have you ever seen, thinking about just reminiscing about different things that have influenced our spiritual life, like materials, like, have you ever seen any of the Pivotal Players?
All of them.
You have?
Yeah.
I cannot say I've seen all of them. I have to catch up.
Yeah, pretty much anything that Word on Fire puts out, I've seen.
So, like, you're a sponsor is what you're saying. You're here. Like, Word on Fire, paid segment, 3, 2, 1. No, just kidding. Right. I wish, right? But, no, their stuff is always very powerful. I'm a proud owner of the Word on Fire Bible as well. At least the Gospels.
Yeah, yeah, they just came out with another one recently.
Haven't got to the New Testament series yet.
Yeah.
But I will say as well, thinking about Pivotal Players, it's a DVD series that Bishop Barron does with Word on Fire that covers like influential saints and like potential saints of the church, like influential Catholics, I guess I should say. One of them being Fulton Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
And The Priest Is Not His Own, like classic spiritual reading for anyone considering the priesthood or anyone wanting to learn more about like a good solid spirituality of the priesthood.
Yeah.
Like very good. Very, yeah. very good.
His book, a couple of years ago, I went on a silent retreat and I took Life of Christ, which is a big work of his. He goes through the gospel and then just breaks it down and pours out some theological reflections on different parts. He was a really sharp guy. And I think that with all this conversation about spirituality, like there's so many different avenues of books and reflection and, you know, and it's not about, like we've talked about, it's not simply just about knowing knowledge or knowing techniques. It's knowing a person. Like all of this is geared towards one simple goal, which is knowing Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, like that's the purpose of it all.
Should be at the center of any of our spirituality at the end of the day. If it's not about our Lord, then it's obviously about nothing important in terms of the spiritual life, right?
I mean,
the whole point of all of these things we've talked about, somehow drawing us into relationship with our Lord, drawing us into that encounter, drawing us into the Trinitarian life, like relationship with God that we're made for. As St. Augustine famously said, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I got that right. Whew. Okay.
Yeah.
I used that in a homily a few weeks ago. I was afraid I would mess it up, but.
You got it.
All right. Whew.
I mean, and doing so in ways that are tangible for you, right? I was talking with my spiritual director a couple weeks ago, and he is a big reader of Carol Hauslander, a spiritual author who I would also recommend. And couple thoughts. One, Carol Hauslander was saying that with each person that we encounter, Christ is present with them. and it's like a different phase of Christ's life. So, you know, when you encounter a baby, you're encountering Christ in Bethlehem. When you encounter she even says, when you encounter someone who is living in sin, who maybe doesn't have a desire to be close to God or is not intentional about that, Christ is still present in them, but it's Christ in the tomb awaiting resurrection. So like trying to look at it, spirituality is less of what we do and it's more of a disposition of how we approach our life, you know, through the lens of Christ. And so for myself, my spiritual director, you know, I was like, you know, Father, I try to at least stop in for a visit, like for 10 minutes, like in a given day, coming home from work or going to work, just if I could, like 10 minutes in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, like that's a goal, right? And he's like, yeah, I get that, but you have a newborn son, right? Like he's what? I'm like, well, he's going to be 8 months old pretty soon. He's like, okay. He's been baptized, right? Like, yes. He's like, okay. So he is a temple of the Spirit of God. Like the living God is present within him, like through his grace.
Sure.
I'm like, yes. He's like, he's not sinning. There's no taint of sin. It's the grace of God is purely present in your son. And I was like, yes. He's like, okay. So when you're holding him and rocking him, like you're sitting in the presence of Christ, you know, you know, granted it's obviously it's not the same thing as the Eucharistic presence, but nonetheless, it's like, he's like, that's your holy 10 minutes or your holy hour or whatever you want to call it, you know? And, you know, so trying to have that type of a lens, no matter what you're doing, you know, that's the goal of spirituality. It's I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think there's a reality that you have to be willing to accept that certainly there are moments in our lives when we'll be able to encounter our Lord in the Eucharist, our Lord present to us in the Word of God, our Lord present to us at Mass in the ways that we would often think like would be drawn to in the presence of God. But there's definitely ways in which we can encounter, as whether it's councils of the church or other teachings of the church offer us, that we do encounter the presence of the Lord in others. We encounter the presence of the Lord in our daily lives. And we have to be attentive to and be open to not only encountering the Lord in those places we'd expect, but also thinking about encountering him in our daily lives, you know, as adopted sons and daughters of the Father. There's going to be presence of God, should be presence of God, every moment of our lives and everything that we do. So even in the most inconvenient of circumstances, you know, the power goes out. Yeah. Oh, an opportunity to encounter the Lord in the power outage, right? Blessed be God. You know, we see, we have an inconvenience in our day or we stub our toe or something like that. Like there's an opportunity to encounter our Lord and simple things like that as well. Even in the midst of, you know, caring for our families, caring for the people entrusted to us, being responsible for those people entrusted to us, a multitude of ways to encounter the presence of God in any particular way, in any path of vocation of our lives. So
Father, to kind of wind down the episode, why don't we each share a moment where we felt that we experienced and encountered Christ in, you know, in our life, like maybe recently or within the last few months? Like, is there a moment that stands out for you where you lived it and maybe not in the moment, but like afterwards when you were praying or reflecting, you were like, wow, like that was an encounter with Christ.
Yeah, certainly. I was once called to anoint someone bedside as they were actively dying in hospice. And there was a husband and wife that were there. They were into their 70s. They had recently retired and had plans for retirement. And then the wife suddenly got sick and that kind of was cut off. A lot of their plans for retirement were cut off in their later years. And then I remember very distinctly, like when I got there, the wife was laying in bed, you know, she was on pain medication, breathing and all that kind of thing with oxygen. And her husband was like right up against in the bed next to her, like seated. like with his hand on her head and like caring for her, talking to her. And I mean, to be able to see and witness, like in that moment, like I knew, like, and honestly, I was a new priest at the time. So mm-hmm. I was just thinking like, don't mess up anointing of the sick words. Don't mess up like the prayers, yeah. You know, being nervous as a new priest. But then what was powerful was praying the Our Father with them, holding hands with the family, and then seeing like, you know, the children of these parents, like lay their hands on his shoulder. They laid a hand on her shoulder, his shoulder. And I was like joining them in the circle, praying the Our Father. And it's really the realization of like the presence of Christ being there and people at prayer, you know, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And it was very tangible in that moment in the presence of the sacraments and the presence of that family, that Christ was present, even in the midst of my anxiety and nervousness and not mess it up.
But yeah, for sure.
It's definitely something I've reflected on quite a bit over the past 2 years of being a priest.
Yeah.
So you have any moment that stands out to you? What do you think?
For some reason, the moment that's coming to my mind is I was at work, and one of my biggest pet peeves, which I don't think is outlandish, one of my biggest pet peeves is like when I might have a client that no calls and no shows. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, there's a time blocked off for a session, and then, you know, I mean, things come up, right? Like, and, you know, people will contact and say like, hey, can we reschedule? Can we? Okay. But when there's no contacting ahead of time, and then like, I'm just left sitting there.
The old no call, no show.
Yeah. Yep. It's just like, oh man, that's frustrating. So I had this client, and, you know, we had an intake, and, you know, this person clearly, had experienced a tremendous amount of pain and suffering in their life. And, you know, as a result of that, there's a phrase called like rough around the edges. And I think that this person would probably fit that description, you know, even in like the posture, like the way they were sitting in the office, like in the chair, the way that they were talking, the way, like, you could just tell that caring about how other people were perceiving them or their tone or like what they were saying, like that went out the window years ago. And, they were a really good, you know, person to talk to, the gentle heart. And so then we scheduled another session right after this intake. Well, it was a no call, no show.
Okay.
And I was like, oh man, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
But then they reached out the next day and they said, okay, can I come in tomorrow? And it just happened that I had an opening. I was like, okay, yes. Like, we'll meet tomorrow. But like, you know, let's just make sure that we're keeping the appointment. So the time for the session rolls around. 5 minutes past the time for session rolls around. 15 minutes past the time for session rolls around. And I am not in the best mood, right?
Yeah.
Because it was actually my last appointment of the day. So I could have left earlier. But I get a phone call from this person. They're like, I'm trying to get there. I got held up in traffic. My ride, I'll be there. Will you wait for me? And I was like, in my head, I was like, I could say, let's just do this a different time. And I was, but there was something in me that was just like, Adam, don't be stupid. Like, don't be a jerk. You don't have anywhere to go. You don't have anywhere exciting to be. Like, just wait here. And so I was like, yeah, I'll wait. And so I went out to the front waiting room area, and I went to the door, and I could see the person, like, they were knocking on the door, like, of the offices. And I opened it, and they were like, thank you so much for opening when I knocked. You know, when I was knocking at the door, you opened, and I appreciate it. And, you know, we went back, and we had a good session. And afterwards, I just thought, like, that sounded familiar, you know, like, thank you for opening when I knocked. And so I was praying later, and then it was like Revelation in the third chapter. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter his house and dine with him and he with me. And yeah, I just thank God that my petty pet peeves and, you know, impatience stepped out of the way so that I could encounter him in that moment and open the door, you know? So,
amen. I mean, the opportunity to think, to be attentive and to be present to the Lord in our lives. And, you know, maybe listening to this season of Chosen through the spiritualities we did get a chance to explore and the interviews that we did get to do, like, stir something in your heart, maybe prompts you to explore something new, to be able to rekindle something, to begin again with your spiritual life. I mean, take this opportunity as an invitation to do so, to explore where God is working in your life and to explore the presence of Christ in your life. But indeed, I think that is all the time we have today for this episode of Chosen, the podcast. So indeed, if you've liked it, then the best thing you can do is share it with someone, particularly maybe someone that you want to invite to consider, you know, opening again, to beginning again anew in the spiritual life. And you can also like and comment and share on your favorite social media platforms. Until again, when we have another season in the coming fall, God bless you, and we'll wait to hear from you. Until then, God bless.
God bless.